from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On 610 with Pendergast to run the show.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Boys, y'all know I got my little text line going on, my texting Texans going on, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've decided, you know those Hall of Fame shirts I purchased up there? Bought some Hall of Fame shirts?
You bought a few of them.
Bought a handful of them. Gave Tyler one. Tyler got a nice one. I hadn't seen him wear it yet.
I wore it on a weekend day. I have worn it.
It's a good looking shirt.
It is. I appreciate you.
Well, I've got about three or four more, and I'm going to do a through my textintexans.com. I'm going to give a few more away. So if you're out there and you're listening,
explain to people what it is.
Yeah, it's just a text line. It's a text line where I'll be your eyes and ears of all things Texans. Now, of course, I may get off in the latest sipper and some live music somewhere, or maybe an event somewhere around the city, restaurants around the city. We may share some of those thoughts as well. But ultimately, it's what's going on with the Texans through my eyes. Let me be your eyes and ears, and I'll text you on the regular. I'll text you directly to your phone. You just at the end of the day, Ron, what happens? All the different platforms, the Twitters, the Instagrams, the Facebooks, you know, so many people use different platforms where this eliminates all the different platforms. If everybody texts, right? So if you want to get text, that'll update you on what's going on with the Texans, whether it's in-game reactions, pre-game, what to expect leading up, post-game reactions. We go to practice all the time, like what's going on at practice, those kind of things. Then this is specifically for you. It's via text. Again, no social media is needed. It's just via text. So in order to subscribe, it's free, by the way, totally free.
On the house.
On the house, baby. It's free. It's me.
Free, free, free.
Go to textingtexans.com and you can subscribe right there. Complete that process. It's very, very quick, very easy. And I don't blow folks up. I just keep it a buck. I give you what I see, give you what I hear, what's hot for that day, and we keep this thing moving. So anyway, I'm going to give away a few of those Hall of Fame Andre Johnson T-shirts and what I do is I'll randomly select off of all of the subscribers on textingtexans.com. So I want to encourage everybody to go out there and check that out and get dialed in. Season's almost here, and we are dialed in and on it. A lot of smoke around the Houston Texans. A lot of smoke around this offense. A lot of smoke around the game-changing, win-now type moves that they made this offseason. And rightfully so. They made some big-time moves on both sides of the football. But I want to talk about the offensive side of the football because it seems that that's where most of the attention is, and rightfully so, most of the attention is on this offense.
Are we going to get your flowers?
Yes, sir. And what this team did was you added two game changers in Joe Mixon, who we have not seen yet in uniform, and Stephon Diggs, who we've seen briefly in uniform. No doubt about it, game changers. You've got a second round offensive lineman that you moved to center. He's going to play his home position. And you've got a former first round pick in his third year that is playing pretty damn good at guard, so your offensive line is shored up. But going into this season, you got Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and now you've added Stephon Diggs. And we look at that, and everybody talks about what it could mean, and this player brings this to the table, that player brings this to the table, this guy's this good, that good, and we talk about all these individual players. But what does it mean for all of us fans out there, big picture? What the heck does it mean to have that many wide receivers that are really good? Obviously, we know they're going to make plays. They can be explosive, yada, yada, yada. But what does it mean, right? This is football horny caliber audio right here, Tyler. Dalton Schultz, Texans tight end, explains what it's like to have. Now, I don't know why he was asked specifically about Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell and Nico Collins wasn't included. But what it's like and how those guys open things up for particularly the tight end position. This is really, really good stuff. Here's Dalton Schultz talking about these wide receivers opening things up for him in the wide receiver, in the tight end group.
Big, dude. Like, whenever you have, like, vertical threats, like, teams drop deeper. Linebackers, now their hook drops are, you know, 12 yards instead of 8. Like, it affects everything. Even when they feel that, like, vertical push, the guys are trying to stay on top. And when you got two burners, when you add Nico to that mix, like, so three guys can stretch the field, man. So it opens up stuff underneath sometimes and certain coverages. And honestly, like, it creates space for us in the backs. And, like, I love having it because it's playing our defense is, like, hard in practice because, like, they're in your hip all the time, whether they're zone or man. It's, like, it's frustrating. And then you get to some games and it's, like, teams are just spot drop and you feel that space. You know what I mean? And so it's very beneficial for sure.
No doubt, man. That is
done it for you, huh?
All, you know, it's just all of the moves, whether
Let's
you're talking about
off, baby.
Nico and Tank emerging last year, CJ having the year that he had, then you add Diggs to the mix, and boy, we're just all explosive. And it's not just about guys running go routes and guys beating man-to-man coverage. It's how does that all work together? It makes things significantly easier for the quarterback, CJ Stroud. And when you got these guys that are so explosive, there's so much attention given to them in a defensive game plan perspective that the safeties are typically, both of them are split and they're deep, right? Corners a lot of the times are going to give you some cushion. As Dalton Schultz said, linebackers, instead of dropping to 8 yards, are going to drop to 12 yards. So there's a lot of room underneath for your tight ends and your slot receivers to work. And it's just, he said it so beautifully, Ron. And then we go back and we look at this preseason.
By the way, this is an element that they didn't really have last year.
Well, no, I remember you and I having a great conversation, if
You've
I might say
about
so myself.
Suffocating these teams for years.
The Atlanta team, Ron, game last year, their defense came in with, we're going to suffocate them, we're going to take away all the quick stuff. And they ended up winning that ball game, right? The Texans lost that ball game. So the ability to suffocate this team last year, was a real thing. And the more that Nico emerged and the more that Tank emerged, they made big plays. And so it loosened it up some, but
then it came back when Tank got hurt.
Yeah, well, then you got guys injured, and it comes right back. So it just, at the first half of the season, I think that was probably the thought. The teams that were able to do it were definitely, that was a game. We saw it happen, no doubt about it, in the Baltimore game in the playoffs with Nico and company. So, I mean, it's just the thought of it happened last year, suffocating this team happened. You signed Stephon Diggs, Nico and Tank emerge, and all of a sudden, now your tight ends are roaming free. And we've seen it this preseason. Tegan Quatoriano and what's my man, the rookie at Ohio State, just went blank.
Cade Stover.
Cade Stover. Both had really good games in a Hall of Fame game. Like, there was space all over the place underneath. You look just recently, this past game, Dalton Schultz had a couple of catches, and Brevin Jordan had a couple of catches. There's just a lot of space underneath when that starting unit is on the field, and it's not necessarily just
potentially
about
guys like Cam Akers and Joe Mixon.
No question, your running backs. Joe Mixon is really good in the pass game, and Cam Akers, as he climbs the depth chart, he's proven already to be really good in the pass game. Those guys are going to have more space underneath as well, man. So I couldn't have said it better myself, Ron. Dalton Schultz put it out there. That is why. That's how it all, when it all works together, and we get done talking about all these individuals, that ultimately is what matters. Is now you can't win if you're a defense. You can't win. You stay back because of all these explosive guys. Then guess what? We got underneath options that we got a quarterback that is willing to just take it. Boom, boom, boom. Take the boring stuff. Dink and dunk all day long if you'll let us. And then he has the ability, obviously, to drive the football down the field if you bring a safety off the roof and man guys up. So it's beautiful. Now, I say all that to say,
there's another part to this.
There's another part to this, Ron. The other part to this is exactly what Dalton Schultz says is exactly why this run game should bear fruit. It's exactly why we need to raise the bar for this offensive line. Yeah, you've got three first-round picks. You got a second-round pick. You got a Super Bowl champ up there. The bar should be significantly higher than what it is, and they should be playing significantly better than what we're watching in just a small bit of preseason games, right? There's when the rubber meets the road and the regular season hits, and you're this explosive with the quarterback that you have, and I would think you're gonna live in 11 personnel a good chunk of the time. There not only is a lot of room to roam for your tight ends and your running backs in the pass game, it should make things very clear for your offensive line, and it should allow the run game to, at the very least, be effective, right? And we've talked about it again multiple times about how, boy, there's going to be a light box because C.J. Stroud and company are so good. Yep. Well, again, this is a guy in the damn building, in the meeting rooms, on the offensive unit saying, yeah, it's going to lighten the box. It's going to force linebackers deeper and safeties to stay back and not allow them to suffocate and put that extra defender around the line of scrimmage to stop the run. And so that is, again, another reason why, for me personally, Ron, I don't have a problem whatsoever saying this offensive line has got to step up in a big way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are different advantages to your personnel that can help you in the run game. So, like, the Texans' receivers and their ability to potentially stretch the field and cause fear of not giving up the big play is essentially their Lamar Jackson. So Lamar Jackson's skill set changes the run game and how you have to defend the run game, because you always have to monitor him, so it helps no his doubt. Backs. They don't have Lamar Jackson, but what they have is the fear of, man, we got to keep somebody back. We don't want them to get the big play, so you know, we're gonna have to kind of give up some on the run game, and they got to take advantage of that.
Well, Ron, it's another, you know, as we think and get deeper into this too, because a big part of coming out of last week's preseason game, Ron, was not only that C.J. Stroud was efficient, but he was spreading the football around to five or six different receivers in a matter of would he have two drives, one quarter? That's the other component here. If you're a defensive coordinator coming in and you know they got all these explosive weapons, right? But they only really like to throw to one guy, and one guy gets all the attention, and one guy gets that. Right now, you come in and a defensive coordinator,
he'll throw it to all of them.
You want to close the middle of the field and maybe roll your middle safety over the top of Nico and Tank. Okay, we'll take Diggs. You want to roll him over. You want to give Diggs the attention. Okay, we'll take Nico. I mean, it's just.
He'll throw it to Noah Brown.
Absolutely, he don't give two rips. He's, as he said the other day, I think I saw. I don't know where he said it or why he said it, who he was talking to, but he said, if you're open, you will get the ball. That's C.J. Stroud's get open and you will get the ball. So again, Dalton Schultz put it out there, man. That is the real of it all. We can talk in circles about each one of these guys if we want. The 11 guys together, the simple stupid of it all is, you better back your ass up or you gonna get beat over the top. and we got so much, so many explosive receivers that most teams are going to back up and give Dalton Schultz and company. This could potentially be a career year for Dalton Schultz.
And he got
paid. That's how powerful that is. That this could be a career year for Dalton Schultz, man. Hey, Ryan, you'll appreciate this. I had on another note here. Get a little bit personal here. I had a real daddy moment driving to work today. I may put you on this. My wife texts me, Tyler, you'll like this, because since we had our conversation about Post Malone doing country music, I'd only heard a couple of songs before he released his album. And Tyler, we were talking about it. I said, I'm not a big fan. I don't like the sound. I'm not buying it. A lot of it, some of it sounds real auto-tuned at times, kind of deal. But he dropped an album with about 800 songs on it, by the way. I mean, what the hell did he think? I mean, he spent some time putting it, yeah. So
he's featuring everybody.
Not really, but he's featuring everybody in the game. But so I listened to the majority of the album, but I didn't listen to this particular song. So my wife hits me up and says, you need to listen to Yours by Post Malone. And she did say she was crying, but my wife is emotional from time to time, so I knew it wasn't a go-getter song. It was more of an emotional song. Chief,
sucked you in.
I listened to that song, man. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Ron, that man wasn't 10 seconds into that song, and I had tears in my eyes, man.
Damn.
And by the time he gets halfway through, my chin's quivering.
Oh my God, really? There's not a lot of songs like.
Hey man,
I guess he must have took you somewhere.
Singing about his little girl.
Oh yeah.
I'm assuming he's got a little girl. If he doesn't, he pulled it off. He's singing to her fiance and or the groom at the wedding kind of deal, and he's just one of them, man. It just
got you.
Woo.
That.
I mean, it was wrong.
I can't remember the last time that happened.
I text my wife. I said,
took me to tears.
I said, why would you do that to me?
It must have tore her up too, huh?
Well, yeah. I
just sat over there and just been crying together.
She said, because my little cousin, who's one of her friends, told me to. I said, well, hell, you're over here talking about crying, literally bawling. And you send it to me, I'm on the way to work. I'm trying to get my mind right to talk ball with the fellas, and you got me crying on the way to work.
You didn't think it was going to get you there.
No, I had no idea what it was about. Like, I don't, like, typically stuff don't hit me. I got a couple of songs that
get me. Even if she told you what it was about, I don't think you didn't think it was going to get you there.
No, my man is singing directly to old buddy that he's fixing to give her away to. And it is, when you got a 2-year-old, it's like, man, I don't even ready to think about that.
I don't know if I want to listen.
I'm telling you, bro. I don't know. I don't know you and Lowe's relationship, but it's father daughter. Boy, I got to believe this one will move you, man. It's one of them, like, damn.
Tyler said, don't let her get married.
I'm just kidding.
No, I don't want her to be like me. I don't want her to be nothing like me.
So you don't want to be up in your house.
I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with running my race one more time, but I don't want her to be, she can't be 42 and still be hunting now.
Coming up, the captain, Joe Espada, gives another update on Alex Bregman, who is not in the lineup for, what is this, five? The fifth straight game. We'll let you hear what Joe had to say coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. News coming from the Astros. Alex Bregman, who initially Friday, they said had some pain in the right elbow, just needed some time off. A couple of days, not long term. That's coming from Alex Bregman's mouth. And the word was just the weekend, he'll be back in the lineup Monday. He was not back in the lineup on Monday, and Chandler Rome was correct again. And when Chandler Rome said that he would not be potentially playing today either, the lineup is out and he is not in the lineup. And Joe Espada, who is speaking to the media, this is what Joe had to say in reference to the latest, thanks to Adam Spillane getting this for us, the latest on Alex Bregman.
Yes, he is closer to getting in the lineup. He is going to hit, and once he hits, and we'll see if he could be available for tonight, but he is closer to getting back in the lineup, yes.
Once he hits, we can see if he's available. Oh, available, like for obviously pinch hitting or something, right?
Can he throw? Like, can he play third base, or is he, like, can he throw?
I mean, yesterday he was singing a song to him. I mean, I would think he's all right, huh?
I would not think he's all right. He's not in the lineup. We'll see if he's able to pinch hit. But I mean, I wonder, is like you said, like if he hits, we'll see. Can he throw? I just wonder where we are. We're in a place where he can't play in the field right now, and he's closer to swinging.
So he was just taking ground balls. He wasn't actually hitting.
I don't know. In my mind, when I read this and I listen to Joe, and he says he's doing better, he'll hit on the field to determine if he's available tonight. Like from a pinch hit standpoint, I could get that, but the injury is a right elbow issue, which is his throwing arm. Oh, hell, let's hear it. I'm about to say, I'm asking questions. Here we go. What, let me hear this. I heard it.
What did he say? He was saying it to you. He wasn't saying it to all of us.
I have a spotta.
I was
in your ear. My bad. I have a spotta here. He was asked.
Please, let's hear
exactly
it.
What you were asking, Ron. Is Bregman able to throw right now?
Yes, he is. He has play catch. Very light game of catch. Yes.
Light catch. Very lightly.
Hey, Joe, man. You just sound like you lying.
Very lightly.
I mean, you just sound like you lying.
What does that look like? Like,
is he able to throw? Like, listen to him right off the jump early. He knew he. If he's playing real light catch,
he's not playing tomorrow either.
Not in the field.
Well, yeah, that's. I mean, he can DH.
Joe put some emphasis on that light, right?
Because this definitely ain't conviction catch. I want you to play. I want you to play that again,
have you
Tyler.
Ever heard,
Listen how off the top he's ready to. Oh yeah, yeah. And then immediately how it comes down.
Yes, he is. He has play catch. Very light game of catch. Yes.
Very, very light game.
Double back real quick. Very lightly.
He's backpedaling like Derek Stingley.
You're a Tiger, but now you're a Texan, man.
Like you said, man, we had light catch.
I don't remember.
Like, what kind of catch do you have to be at to play third base?
I mean, everybody's got their own little deal. I don't remember Dusty or Hinch or any of them, like, lean on or use like playing catch as a conversation piece.
Well,
whereas the place of where they are and the different variations of catch.
I mean, we've had Tucker playing catch. We've had Bregman playing catch. Obviously, all the pitchers play different levels of catch. There's conviction.
This is a new label in catch. We've gotten conviction catch. We've gotten catch. And now we got light catch. Again, this is what I will say. I will listen to what Adam Spillane, Chandler Rome, and Brian McTaggart and the rest of the gang who cover the Astros say above them. But every time I hear them say something, fellas, I always just assume it's worse than what they're like. I don't want
to do the best I can.
Like clearly worse than what they're letting off. What do you mean he's playing light catch? As you said, he's going to be out tomorrow too.
It's not ideal.
I'm just saying, like, what do you ramp up to regular catch to be able to play, like, to be able to play in the?
Well, I mean, bottom line is if he's not playing full blown, like, let it rip type of catch, you ain't playing third base. You ain't playing third base at the high school level if you can't let it rip, much less the pros. Yeah, no, I mean, he may be closer to D. That's a good point, T. He may be closer to DH.
Oh, yeah, that's what he's talking about. Yeah, we got to see how he swings the bat. That's why I kept saying he's talking about swinging the bat. Like, that'd be one thing if his injury was he hurt his heel. But the injury is the right elbow.
Well, I got to believe if you can swing and your swing isn't affected by that elbow injury, I got to believe that, I guess what I'm saying is I would think that throwing the ball as violently as you need to from third base and swinging a bat as violently as you need to at the major league level, like I would think your elbow, if like it would keep you from doing both, wouldn't it?
I just remember, Tyler, check me if I'm wrong. Bryce Harper just kept hitting and had Tommy John.
That is correct.
Yeah, he had Tommy John, hurt his.
Yes.
And he stopped playing in the field, but just DH'd.
No, that's Brandon Otani. Ridiculous.
Yeah, through the whole, like even before they
you're
had
already
the
there, huh?
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying if the injury, like not I would think.
You should still be able to swing is what I'm saying, be able to hit, even if your elbow is giving you problems. We've seen players like Otani and Bryce Harper do it. I hope it's not that. I mean, I hope if it's UCL, he's not playing any type of catch, light or conviction. Hey man, they do a good job of not knowing what the hell they don't want.
They do a good job of pissing me off.
I used to think they do a really good job of not letting us know what the hell is going on, but they do a really good job of making me wonder if they know what the hell's going on.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're not even on the same page inside the house.
What? It's a light catch. Let's see, man. Hey, real quick. When do you think Alex Bregman's playing in the field again? End of the week?
Not this series. Not by the end of this series. And probably not by the end of next series, if I had to guess. So I don't know, man. I'm so pessimistic when it comes to this now. Like I have no idea.
You're not. I think he'll at least hit the way they're. I think.
You think he comes back for Tucker?
Yes.
Yes. I guess we really need to ask that.
Yeah, I believe he'll hit. I think maybe he could hit tonight. I believe he'll hit. I don't know when he's going to play third base next.
I think he's going to be out there with Verlander tomorrow.
Tomorrow? At third base?
Yep, third base. Full go.
You don't believe that, Clint. You literally just
I don't believe Joe Espada.
Let's stop catching. You're not playing.
I don't believe Joe Espada. I believe he's fine.
Okay.
Well, no Clint, structural damage. We heard Bregman say it himself.
We've heard that. No structural damage, no bones, no brook, no break, nothing like that.
Very light game of catch.
Another thing, did they?
Just 3 months.
Is the forearm next?
Oh, let's God. Let's hope not. All right, coming up, Tom Brady weighs in on the big subject and topic of the day in the NFL, and this may be one of the first times Clint Sterner doesn't agree with Tom Brady. Must be really, really difficult for you. We'll let you hear that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up next,
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. I got to first, before we get into to Tom. Tom Brady must have. This one, I don't know how many times you disagree with Tom Brady. We'll get to that here in just a
second. Doesn't happen often.
Story of the day here in the NFL. But, Clint, as I'm looking at this this text line and YouTube and Twitch, I mean, you really got to some people with this damn song.
What happened?
That song, I mean, it
them girl dads out there listened to it and got them, didn't it?
First time I heard it, I told my wife, that's the new father daughter song. Someone said, what's the name of that song? Just got my truck. My 25-year-old daughter will be getting married in November, so I'm not even going to listen to the song.
The name of the song is Post Malone. The artist is Post Malone, and it's called Yours. And, if yours is fixing to get married, hell, mine, I hope mine's at least got 20 years. I mean, I was doing everything I could to fight him back, boy.
And I was a blubbering idiot. Clint, my wife played that song for me Saturday night. I have 3 grown daughters and cried like a schoolgirl.
Oh, I can only imagine. You're on the backside of it.
Clint, you suck for talking about that song. I look up and it made me cry while driving home. Now I can't see the road.
I told my wife that. I said, I hate you for that. I mean, that is awful. Yeah, so I thought I'd bring it to the people, man.
Yeah, that song must be tough. What's it called again?
Yours. Pretty. I mean, there really ain't a whole hell of a lot to it. I mean, you could probably sit around and think about kind of the messaging behind it. But boy, when he's singing that thing, boy, it'd catch you at a weak moment in a car by yourself where ain't nobody watching.
Oh, Tyler,
you're a better man than me if that don't draw tears.
Tyler said it, man. He started thinking about Sugar.
Straight up.
He started thinking about who?
Sugar.
Who is that?
Dog.
Like literally. Her, oh,
my baby girl.
One of your dogs.
Baby girl. That'll get him down.
Mm-hmm.
I see. So yeah, stay away from him, man. He's doing,
yeah.
An emotional roller coaster.
Mm.
All right. Let's get to Tua first, because Tua has made headlines being on with Dan Le Batard and Stu Guy's been on that show and talked about his relationship with Brian Flores, his former coach, and then his relationship with his current coach and how different those are.
To put it in simplest terms, if you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. Like, you are accurate, you are the best whatever, you are this, you are that. Like, how would it make you feel listening to one or the other? You see what I'm saying? And then you hear it, regardless of what it is, the good or the bad, and you hear it more and more, you start to actually believe that. I don't care who you are. You can be the president of the United States. You have a terrible person that's telling you things that you don't want to hear or that you probably shouldn't be hearing. You're going to start to believe that about yourself. And so that's sort of like what ended up happening. And it was, I mean, it's basically been, 2 years of training that out of not just me, but, you know, a couple of the guys as well that have been here since my rookie year all the way till now.
All right. So that is which he also said also in the interview that Brian Flores is a horrible person. But he broke down the relationship and what he would say to him and now how it is now. Tom Brady, who, by the way, Stephen Ross and Brian Flores were trying their hardest to get him to come and play for the Miami Dolphins, so much so that they got hit with tampering charges and lost draft picks, first round draft pick. He spoke on the matter too, Clint. What was you going to?
Yeah, no, I'd like to commend Tua.
Yeah,
for waiting to this point to bring that to life. I mean, obviously it's an interview and he's not holding back at this point in time. But boy, I he's a better man than me. I mean, through all that crap they were going through, I mean, he was getting ran over the coals. It'd have been hard to not say, man, y'all know what this cat's doing in here? Yeah, I mean, y'all know what this coach is up to? I mean, he'd been around greatness with Nick Saban, man. I mean, he knew that wasn't hard coaching. But I just commend him for the way in which he handled it and it took this long? Has Flores been gone out of Miami 2 years?
2 years, yeah.
I mean, it took 2 years for this to come to light.
Well, I mean, you feel a lot comfortable. You know, your standing in the league is better. You just got paid.
Yeah,
feel a little bit better to come out. And I think he's probably grown too. Like, I mean, he was a kid when he got there. He's probably grown too in himself. And like,
well, he realizes with a great coach that they're winning a lot of ball games and a guy doing it the right way. He realizes that again, what he was going through was not hard coaching. I'm sure when he first got to the league, he was like, "Oh, this is what the NFL is all about. This is really what the NFL is like."
Came from Belichick.
So you got to kind of just eat it. Yeah, came from Belichick. Came from the best organization in the game for the last 20 years. Yeah, I mean, it would be now he knows better. I just tip my cap to Tua for holding his tongue as long as he did.
Well, here is Tom Brady and his thoughts in this situation in terms of Brian Flores towards Tua.
If the coach was going to be hard on me, I was going to accept the difficult coaching because I needed to hear it. And again, it motivated me. And there was a lot of players on our team that would see me get coached hard and that they would say, okay, I got to step my game up because I don't want to get yelled at. Tom's getting yelled at. I don't want to get yelled at. Yeah. How do I up my game? And I think that's what accountability looks like. And you can't be, you know, so have your ego so big that, you know, any criticism is going to, you know, lessen your confidence. I mean, look, you're going out there in a Super Bowl in 2 weeks in Vegas and you got hundreds of millions of people watching. You better be tough at that point. You better have, you know, not go in there with, you know, a weak attitude.
Fragile.
I think you got to go in there and you got to embrace the challenge, embrace the opportunity. You're going to be tested. And if your coach tests you and your teammates test you, then you can go beat your competition.
Yeah, I think what Tom is talking about is much different than what Tua just talked about. And I'm going to say this. I believe what Tua has said, and I believe it was probably worse than what Tua even talked about and let on, especially when I hear the response and the reaction from what Brian Flores had to say, right? Brian Flores said a lot of things, one saying Tua's words hit hard, but I've evolved. He talked about hoping him, you know, being happy for Tua, talked about it, why he wanted to get in coaching, but he didn't deny a single thing that Tua had to say. So I'm led to believe that he spoke to the media today and didn't come out and just vehemently, you know, say that wasn't true and deny any of it. I'm led to believe he said that. What Tom is talking about, that's not that. This is different to me than being coached hard, than people being on you all the time. Listen, I've been coached hard. Hey, man, you suck, or you shouldn't be here. Boy, I wish somebody else. I wish this other guy was here. That ain't coaching hard.
It sounds like what Flores was doing was borderline bully.
Absolutely.
What Tom didn't deal with that. I wasn't in the locker room, but I mean, I would be shocked if Tom, in fact, if I remember correctly, hell, in Tom's own words, Bill's the one that stuck with him when they could have went back to Bledsoe. Bill's the one that said, kind of stood up to the team and said, no, we're going to stick with this young fella. We're talking about a guy that's saying, Flores is saying what he's saying to Tua and then jerking him out of the game in the third or fourth quarter and put for Fitzpatrick, which no disrespect. I would have killed to have that career, but I mean, let's be honest. You've got a top 10 quarterback that you're drafting, and that's not the ticket. So, yeah, I just disagree wholeheartedly with Tom even shaping his mouth to have that stance or that response to what Tua is saying. I just think it's one thing to get coached hard. It's one thing to get held accountable. It's one thing to even, like Tom said, for the coach to even bear down on you because you're the quarterback and you're the superstar. And it's good for everybody on the team to see that you're not above getting held accountable. That ain't what Tua was never the superstar. Tua was a guy that had all the expectations because of where he was drafted, but had a head coach working against him. Not to mention, Tua didn't have the Bill Belichick, Patriot way, championship type stuff going on in the organization. It was an absolute dumpster fire. So I just... Like I, Tom's wrong on this one. Listen, if the question was directly about what Tua said, Tom's wrong on this.
Listen, you've been around, obviously, in the NFL, in college at a high level, higher than any level than us. Do you think there are there are people out there, a good amount of people, athletes, football players, that believe this is hard coaching?
That
what Brian Flores is doing?
No.
Like, you don't even, like, you think there's an understandable separation on whatever is hard coaching to this?
Yes, I think the players in Miami right now know that what Brian Flores was doing was beyond hard coaching. It was the owner and the head coach disagreed on who should be the starting quarterback. They disagreed on who they should have drafted. It was obvious Brian Flores never wanted Tua, and clearly Brian Flores was making that very evident on a day-to-day basis with how he treated Tua. This was not hard coaching. It clearly was so far beyond that. It was dysfunction within. Absolutely. And this another part of what was going on in Miami that was never going on with Tom in New England. So I don't think that anybody that was in that organization. Now, there was probably guys that didn't think Tua was as good as everybody thought he was too. Hell, half the country, half the damn fan base didn't think he was. Half of them thought they was good enough, half of them didn't.
It was interesting because some of the things I've heard from former players in this, because this has been one of the top conversations, is, all right, hey, man, you got to understand, you got to talk to certain players a certain way. Some players don't respond the same way to things, and there are some players who respond to some of the things that were said in a way of, all right, I'm going to show you. That's why I asked you, do you think there are some people who actually see this as a tactic in hard coaching? Because I was surprised to hear.
I think Flores went beyond that, but that is absolutely the Parcells, Bill Belichick way of doing things. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, literally try, like, coach out of fear. There's no doubt about it. The only one I had specific, direct experience with is Parcells, and there's no doubt that Parcells, it is from word go, it is fear. Fear for your job, fear for how hard training camp's going to be, fear for competition, fear to screw up. I mean, Flores probably came up, not probably, did come up watching Belichick do that kind of silly stuff. And now, you see what happened to Belichick. Times pass them all by.
Yeah.
Right? That don't work no more. And you get, Flores gets his own gig and he's trying to take that same approach. And now it's a player that he never wanted. And that player isn't as good or is winning as many games as he thought. And he just created an absolute dumpster fire with it.
Yeah. 5 o'clock fire, your chance, your final chance today, your chance to win a pair of tickets, front row in the bullpen.
Come on.
For Saturday's game at noon at NRG at noon, coming up on Saturday against the Rams. That's coming up in this next segment, so stay tuned. Tell a friend, get ready, win them tickets coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.